In 56 AD, the Apostle Paul was very determined to go to Jerusalem for Pentecost. The Ephesian church was persuading him, "Do not go." Someone even took their belt off and tied Paul up and said, "This is what they're going to do to you." But he was determined to go. And you can read that journey and the things that happened along the way to Jerusalem to be with the brethren there. And what happened when he came into the court, the temple court, where there was a ruckus, which got him arrested and almost beaten to death, first of all, before intervention came in. But they were upset, just as we see our brethren over in India. What is going on? First of all, they thought Paul brought someone into the temple court that wasn't, you know, Jewish. So they wanted to beat him up for that. And then he's saying that the Gentiles have been called. So between those two things, they wanted to beat him up. God sent him to Jerusalem to be a witness. And we know that ultimately Paul surrendered to Caesar. And from 5-6 years, or that time frame in there, is about when his life ended. But during that time, Paul was put into prison. And it was possible he was released, but then put back in. But while he was in prison, he was chained to a soldier day and night while he was in prison. Now, it could have been a long chain, but he was chained to a soldier, so he could not escape. During that time, a Roman soldier, fully dressed in armor, Paul analyzed the Roman soldier. He analyzed the armor. And he put an analogy together that we read in Ephesians chapter 6 that is supposed to help us, inspired by God, to be how that relates to our spiritual calling. You know, another place in scriptures, Paul talks about us having hardships. Jesus Christ had hardships. He was dedicated to his Father. He was dedicated to doing his will. In a world that is controlled by Satan, the devil. And he encourages us and writes that we are to be soldiers of Jesus Christ and that we are to endure hardships. God has heard our prayers for the brethren around the world. And we pray for his will to be done. One day, God's outstretched arm will deliver. Whether he does it now, whether he does it next week, whether he does it when Christ returns. In the meantime, through these hardships that we're being attacked by Satan, we are to endure. Not easy to do, but as Paul's in prison, he endured. And he puts together this analogy of the armor and relates that as Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. So, Hebrews 2:10, just let me read this to you. Paul says, "For it was fitting for him, Jesus Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory." When we go through persecution, when we go through sufferings, We need to make sure that we're praying to God and asking Him, not just for deliverance, but that we are putting on Christ. Because it says to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Without sufferings, we cannot be made perfect. God says, you know what? Yeah, you're supposed to show love. You're supposed to love your enemies. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. You're even supposed to be willing to die. Are you able to do that? If you love your life to the end, you will lose it. With God's Holy Spirit, we are to become like Him. It just, as we are molded and we grow and become perfect through sufferings, we become like Jesus Christ. So today, let's discuss the armor of God and some of its spiritual applications. I mean, you can go online and there's sermons for each one of these. I'm just going to go through them today as a reminder, hit some high points. Won't be able to touch on everything, but I want to discuss the armor of God and some of its spiritual applications and really focus. You know, God inspired Paul to go to Jerusalem to give a message, mainly to probably to a lot of deaf ears. I'm sure there were some that it registered with. Seeds were being planted. There were some that did respond to that calling. But today, let's go through that. There's a book called War Through the Ages by Lem Montrose. And listening to a sermon this week, the name will pop to me, come to my mind at some, when it does, I'll let you know. But on pages 47 through 51, describe the Roman legions of armor and weaponry. Okay, it describes in detail. You can go online and you can Google things, and I did that as well. And I did send Nick, I'll have you, not yet, but at some point I'll have you on my first point, put up that slide. But let me just give you some highlights. It says in that book, it says a person was obligated to enter the Roman service at the age of 17. You know, you're drafted, old man drafted, if you had these qualifications, but you were required to go into the army at the age of 17 and not come out until you're 60. The last 15 years, from 45 to 60, you were put on light duty. Probably working at a garrison to some that extent. And I'm just giving you some things that were some history from this book. It said only men of good physique quality would qualify. So you had to have a good physique, you had to be strong. And this were some of the things that you'd have to be able to qualify. The recruits must have sharp eyes. All right, so I would not qualify. Maybe at 17 I would at that point, but do I have all these qualifications? This was strict. You had to have a head that was carried erect. It could not be, this is what they wanted. Erect head, a broad chest, stout shoulders, big fists, long arms, well-proportioned growth, feet and soles were to be muscular. And if a person had all this, the height did not matter. It was more important to be strong than tall. Now, the training was very intense. Training was very intense. During training, the recruit would wear his cloak. And I'm going to show you a photo of what these items are in one photo through my message. He would wear his cloak, his shield, his armor, his helmet, his weapons that tucked into his belt, an axe, a spade, a pot for cooking, several weeks of rations, and items for making his camp. And this would not weigh less. I mean, it weighed more than 75 pounds. This is what they carried. Paul lays out the battle plan for us, as well as other writers. And all battles must have a plan if they're to succeed. Must have a plan. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, let's turn there if you're not there. I'm going to read three verses before we get started. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Right? So just having an armor is not enough for God. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, his deceitfulness, his cunningness. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." That's our battle. And Paul takes this armor and parallels it for us spiritually. The battle for us starts in the mind. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. And God gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us his mindset. And we're at war. We battle. We battle. So from the book again, getting prepared to win. To conquer the enemy that terrified his men. Okay, these men, you know, they're forced into battle. Yeah, and you know, the centurions, the generals, they know their men are terrified. To an extent. And we're afraid without God's help, right? But this is what the book says. To conquer the enemy that terrified his men, he needed to prepare them. The centurion, the generals, they needed to prepare the men. And what they would do? The commander would heighten their morale, not by enthusiasm, but by causing anger, making them angry. He made their lives of his soldiers miserable by giving them excessive work, taking away food, blankets. He stretched the force of discipline to the point that the force of this anger was driven to the enemy. He was preparing them for war. It became the soldier's drive and thought to exterminate the enemy by whatever means possible. They had a mindset to determine to get rid of that enemy at any cost. Paul uses this analogy in the armor of God. You can put a marker here. I'm gonna hit some other scriptures as well. But here, we're told to bring every thought into captivity, every thought to the thinking of Jesus Christ. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, use this as part of our foundation. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds with God's help, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Are we determined to the fullest extent to conquer the enemy at whatever cost? Paul says we can. Paul says we can. Jesus Christ says we can. But we need to understand the enemy. We need to understand who the enemy is. It's not each other. It's not your boss or those in the world. The enemy is, we need to identify that enemy as Satan, the devil. He's the enemy. He's the one we need to conquer. He wants you to hate others. He wants you to hurt others. Christ says, love your enemies. Be willing to turn the other cheek. Satan does the opposite of that. Satan also uses society. He makes it look appealing. He uses it to influence us, but we're told to be separate from the world. Are we doing all that we can? Are we angry with what Satan is doing in this world? What he's causing, the pain, the suffering. His leash is getting longer. God is letting him do more as we get close to the end of the age. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We've done all to stand. So Paul discusses 7 parts of the body of armor, which I want to cover with you today. What is this armor of God, and how is it put into action spiritually? Title, Put on the Armor of God. So here in Ephesians chapter 6, go back there and verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having girded your waist with truth. We'll stop there. It's talking about the tunic and the belt. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The tunic and the belt are the first items of dress that the soldier would put on. And Nick, if you could maybe just put that on. This is a full dressed, I believe, if I remember correctly. So the tunic, and we'll just keep this up here. The tunic is the red shirt, skirt-like outfit. That was put on first, before anything else. It covered the body from neck to just above the knees. It protected the body from rubbing against the armor. If they just put the armor on without this cloth, it would dig into their skin. And the belt, it's important because it had to be tight, not loose, tight. I gave you that list of things. They carried a lot on that belt. They had to carry it close to their body so it wouldn't dangle, get in their way, and even trip. And then the longer piece in the front that dangled down protected the groin area. And when they were not wearing their armor, That tunic and that belt was worn all the time by a Roman soldier. Paul is saying, have that tunic and that belt girded tightly, tightly around with truth. And the Roman soldier was to wear it at all times. When they were out and about, they would wear that without the armor. They were girded. And Paul ties that being girded, your waist, with truth, the word of God. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We need to be tightly girded in the word of God. Mr. Tuck wrote about that in his letter. When we are girded tightly in truth, we will not trip. We know the word of God. It's when we are loose with the truth, we trip. We can easily with Satan because we are to fight him. Satan is so easily twisting the scriptures. But the truth protects us from error. Be strongly girded in the word of God, in the truth. The truth helps us and shows us what we need to be doing in all situations. What to be doing, what to be saying, what not to be doing, what not to be saying. Peter says something about this as well. 1 Peter 1:13, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The mind. Be founded on the truth. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be ready for that. This is how we're wanting to do. God, Jesus Christ said, what is truth? He says, your word is truth, as he prayed to the Father. The truth of God protects us. Why would we want to go somewhere else and allow someone to deceive us? Satan uses people to deceive us. The truth defends us, who we are. Right? As people are standing up for the word of God, being kind in the village, people hate that. Jealousy. They're willing to kill people. The truth shows us how to be separate from the world. To show kindness. Show firmness. We read about soldiers undergoing strenuous combat drills to prepare them for combat. And it's the same for us as we suffer persecutions. We learn, we grow, we apply the armor of God. We face tests, temptations, and trials to prepare us to put truth into action. Remember, this is something that's worn all the time. I'd like to turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. It's something that's worn all the time. What should be worn all the time for us? We're talking about the truth. What is truth? God's word is truth. But God gives us two great commandments. And we know them, but I want to turn there. Matthew 22. Jesus Christ said, as he's in communication, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Okay, so we have the tunic, and we have the belt. This is the first commandment. Second commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is what we wear all the time. When we wear it all the time and it's who we are, says verse 40, on these two great commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And we can grow. We can expand. I think that's what Paul might have been thinking about as wearing truth all the time. Never take it off. As he's with that Roman soldier. Soldiers, as they would switch out. He was learning. He was putting this together. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness, as we do the second part there, verse 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. 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 We seek to live to be godly. God's law is righteous. And we want to protect. We want to protect our body against someone else who wants to not be righteous, which is Satan. And he influences individuals as well. But he says, put on that breastplate on top of the truth. Look always to do what is right. We know what 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 says. You know, he's talking to Timothy about, you know, the Holy Scriptures, that they're profitable. Why? Why are they profitable? Well, they're truth. God wants us to live by them. What we need to be doing, what we need to be learning, what we need to be applying. Jesus Christ talks about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. James says it's the doers of the law who are justified. It's the doers. They understand the law. They understand the law doesn't save them, but we're to live rightly. And living rightly protects us from danger. Danger. Now, we're not to be afraid of the things of the world that are to harm us, but we're to be very determined to not let Satan thwart us from putting righteousness into action. We do not go into battle with Satan unprotected. Know the Word of God. Understand the Word of God by putting it into practice. Learn God's law. Put it into practice. And then when you sin, hopefully you feel bad. And if you don't feel bad, you ask God to help you to feel bad. Breastplate is layered, has layers. And it thwarts, it's supposed to thwart Satan's influence on us and what we need to be doing. Now, there's times in battle, maybe we fall short. Sword can hit our breastplate, and maybe one of those little sections is cracked or has an open spot or maybe even falls off. It needs to be repaired. We always need to be looking at God's law and making those repairs and not neglecting them, or Satan will get in. Three, shod your feet. Ephesians 6:15. Let me go back there as we're based on the Word of God. Truth. His Word is truth. And the Law and the Prophets build on top of that. His law builds on that. As the breastplate we just read. So here, verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparations of the gospel of peace. Sandal. A soldier needs protection for the feet as well, to be able to have grip. Shod means to bind under one's feet. Sometimes you'll walk on a floor, sometimes it's slippery. Sometimes you can walk on wet rocks, it's slippery. Have equipment, it says shod your feet, have it tied to one's feet. Be in bonds. So you do not slip. We are bonded to Jesus Christ, so we do not slip. A soldier needs stability. They need to be able to move quickly and not slip to be able to do their job. If they do slip and fall, they could lose their life. It's very important to have your feet shod. It secures traction and it carries them through battle. And we're to be having our feet shod, and it talks about here, for the message of peace. Are we one of peace? We're not to lose our traction in our speech. Our speech. We're to stay on our feet. We're not to slip. We're to maintain control. We're to be shod in our walk of peace. We're to deliver peace. We're to live peace. We're to be commissioned to walk in peace. I mean, we are commissioned to walk in peace. And we serve, even if people are not peaceful to us. We're engaged in the Word of God to be peaceful when maybe others are not. We must have a solid footing in being grounded in peace. And Paul uses this analogy. Satan wants us to fall. He wants us to slip. But God expects us to be messengers, his messengers. He needs us to turn the other cheek. So we can look at this. We can look at suffering for doing what's right, making peace in all situations. Romans 10:15, let me just read it to you. And how shall they preach except they be sent? All right? I'm going to minister, a messenger of God, preach unless they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We can comfort one another. Preparation. Be prepared to be a messenger of peace. We must have a solid knowledge of the word from the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ teaches. He set the example. Next is the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, and with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So you need a shield, Paul is saying, because Satan is going to use people to fire all different kinds of things at us. The shield in battle was used to be able to take the blows of the enemy. You know, their shield was strong. The sword would hit it. It would protect them. Arrows would come at them. They would not go through. It may stick, but they're supposed to bounce off. And the only way that they could advance the enemy, if they're coming up for a line of other people in battle, was to come together, to use their shields, and inch forward, making ground by covering up and moving. You've probably seen movies of that, where they use that shield to move forward. And they're still getting attacked. But they still keep moving forward. It's the shield of faith. We get attacked. Do we draw back? These soldiers were prepared for war. They were prepared for battle. We should be able to quench all those fiery darts that come at us. And are the relationships that we have with one another, sometimes we say things that we shouldn't. We should be able to quench those. We should be able to respond in a godly manner. We need to be doing this. We need to be working on that. Remember, we're at war. There's an enemy. It's Satan. And he influences us with his evil mindset. Faith is to be implemented in our lives. It's used to be able to stand those blows and keep moving forward, being godly. Satan wants to wear us down. A lot of our people that were once with us are no longer with us. They went back into the world. Who would want to go back into the world? Satan deceives. It's too hard. Faith is that we believe in God's promises. We believe in his doctrine or his teachings, and we put them into practice. We're doers of his word. We must walk in faith. Not just read it, not just know that I'm supposed to. No, we must walk in faith and move forward and keep knowing that we're going to keep having those fiery darts come at us. But we look to God as our shield to help us to respond godly, to win that battle. God is called our shield. Here in Genesis 15:1, it says, after these things, talking about Abraham, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Remember, through faith, right? We haven't seen God, but we know he has promises. And there's a great reward for those who are determined to put God's faith, that gift that he's given us, into action. Be willing to be like the Roman soldier, determined, I am not going to die. I'm going to make it. I'm going to fend off the enemy. When we put that into practice, that faith helps us in these end times. It helps us to not worry, to not be afraid. We know we're moving forward. God is with us. And we know the ultimate plan of eternal life. We all know it. We know the ultimate plan for the first fruits. So just remember that he's going to use people to shoot all kinds of fiery darts at us to try to get us to sin. Put on that. Use that shield. Keep using that armor. Apply all these analogies that Paul's talking about into action so that we can win the battle and not let Satan get to us, that we can conquer him. Number five is the helmet of salvation. In Ephesians 6:17, and take up the helmet of salvation. What is a helmet used for? You know, you think about it, and they have a metal helmet. They don't want to hurt the mind. They don't want to lose their head. They don't want to be badly injured. It protects the head. The shield or the helmet protects the head. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let me read to you. Paul says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. God guarantees his first fruits, those who conquer and make it, salvation. The helmet for us, you can go through scripture, and you say where Paul is there, and he's using these analogies. It's like we need a helmet from Satan to protect the mind. To protect our mind from Satan's mindset. He wants to get in there. He wants us to have his mindset, to be selfish, to be prideful. He wants to dig in there and get in there, and for you don't even know your mind is being damaged. A godly mind protects the mind from being deceived. Be fully committed to have the mind of Christ. Don't neglect what God is showing you, telling you to do. Don't neglect it. Or you're allowing Satan to get in. You're not using the helmet. know, protecting our heads, protecting our minds helps us to be able to win the battle. If we lose our minds, right, we lose our godly mind, we have no protection from the evil one. We go back to the walking dead. They're alive, but they're dead. You know, the hope is knowing that we have a Savior who redeemed us, who paid his life a death penalty in our place that we deserve. But if we're fully committed and putting God's ways into action and applying to have the mind of Christ, we must be fully committed. And then the next is the sword. Because it says, continuing in verse 17, it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now here, there's a spear as well. All right? But Paul is talking about the sword. Now you can see the sword at the hip behind his hand, behind the spear. You see that sword. And going back to that book, it says the sword was about 20 inches in length and it was double-edged. Sometimes you'll see movies where you have these big swords, two arms going back and forth, but it was a shorter sword and they would be able to still hold their shield. And when the enemy would maybe come out and hit them, they would be able to use this sword to come underneath. And it's very effective, having that sword. And it was double-edged, from what this individual has put together and the information that he has gotten. The sword was designed perfectly for the soldier, perfectly. God's word is designed perfectly for us. Let's turn over here to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. God's word is sharp, like a two-edged sword, which is the word of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. This is the Apostle John writing in verse 13, Revelation chapter 1. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, because he saw these seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes like the flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as refined in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. He laid in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. So here's what John is describing. The image of what he sees here is Jesus Christ. Sharp two-edged sword, the word of God. The word of God shows us what we need to be doing. It shows us the thoughts, right? If you really read the scripture, and it's showing us. God has opened our mind. It shows us our thoughts. It shows us our intentions. God is opening us up. He wants us to see those things. Satan wants to, no, cover it up. Don't listen to the word of God. Again, Satan will twist God's words as he did with Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 when Jesus Christ was being tempted by the tempter. Jesus Christ fasted 40 days and 40 nights. to be ready. So you and I fast. To learn more about the Word of God and be able to put it into practice in our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Do we want to use that sword? Do we want it to be applied to us to help us become more like Jesus Christ? The Roman soldier was able to use that sword effectively. And Paul's saying, you know, we need to be able to use the Word of God effectively in our lives. That was six. Seventh one is putting it all together. Putting this all together by having a relationship with our commander. Knowing what he expects of us at all times. Having a relationship. So Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications." In other words, supplications, ask. Ask to be protected from the evil one, to put his ways into practice for all the saints, for all of us, thinking of one another. Be in communication with our Creator. Ask him to know what his will is for us and to be able to put it into practice. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 55. It's not just knowing that we need to put on the armor and look pretty cool in it. No, we need to use it. We need to make sure that we're there and we're using it to fend off Satan and his tactics. Here, in regards to prayer, Psalm chapter 55, let's read verse 16 through 18. Psalm 55, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." We're talking here about the wicked one, from doing wicked ways. To be godly. "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace." To be peace. "From the battle that was against me, for there were many against me." Satan and his demons are many. You know, with Daniel also, he prayed, his custom was three times a day. He was told he was not to pray to his God. And I think, what was the time frame? What, 30 days, 45 days, whatever that decree went out? These men tricked the king. He put the decree out. What did Daniel do? He stayed in communication with his commander. He wasn't gonna let that happen. He wasn't gonna let Satan. Satan was trying to get to Daniel. With prayer, we can inspect our armor. Are we putting on the whole armor to battle against the evil forces? In conclusion, remember, we're at war every single day. We're at battle, as we read earlier. So make sure we are tightly girded in the truth without deviating from it. Don't compromise. Two, look for any cracks in the breastplate of righteousness. And if you have any cracks in there, repair them quickly before Satan gains control of your mind. Number three, make sure our feet are shod in peace, that no matter what comes at us, we are striving to be peaceful. And we have a relationship with God. We can ask him to forgive us. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name, that we can become more like them. Four, make sure we are interlocking the shield of faith with one another as Satan attacks us. Don't be out there by yourself. The army His army coming at us. I mean, there's times that we are by ourselves, but remember that when we are suffering, our brethren are also suffering. We're interlocked together. And five, use the helmet of salvation to discern good and evil. Have the mind of Christ. Protect the mind. And six, make sure our two-edged sword is sharp. Make sure it's sharp, that we want to know what we need to become, and use it to have God see us and our weaknesses so that he can strengthen us through his word. And then last, make sure we are in contact with our commander and chief through prayer at all times. At all times, no matter the situation. And then let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2. And be prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So put on that armor. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, which is controlled by Satan, the devil, and his demons, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We're a soldier in Christ. We are to be like Christ. Christ never sinned. He set a wonderful example. We've been drafted to be faithful servants, to put on that armor. So let's ensure that we do all that we can to stand. And then in closing, Ephesians 6:11 again, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul was put in prison. Wasn't woe is me. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. He was motivated by God to do that. He continued to teach God's message. He continued to have a relationship with God. God continued to use him. God is using you. Let's make sure that we're wearing that armor and put it into practice.